We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right. Our great pleasure to bring in Ray Fittipaldo. He happened to be in the building anyway, taping the PG roundtable, and here he is to talk about Steelers. Hello, Ray.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Little bit hurt, I have to tell you. I can't find anybody to go to that Yankees-Red Sox game with me the day before the Steelers opener. Fenway Park?
I've been to Fenway Park once, Joe, and I went there. My brother took me up there before my bachelor party. Had a bachelor party up there with some of my friends. I saw the Red Sox play the Texas Rangers. This was back in, I guess it was 08. I was married in 08, so 2008. And I would love to see the Red Sox in the Yankees, Joe, but I just don't want to drop...
You don't make Starkey money.
I don't make Starkey. Yeah, I'm.
What if Ron treats you to a ticket?
Well, if Ron treats me to a ticket, I'll be there.
All right, let's get right to the most interesting question. I mean, Ben will be very interesting next week.
Yeah,
but I think as it pertains to on the field, is Devin Bush going to trot out there day one with the starters?
Well, Joe, I wrote about this earlier in the week. This is a much different situation than when Ryan Shazier was drafted with the number 15 overall selection in 2014, they threw him in there right away. But that was when Vince Williams was coming off a rookie season. He played because they had some injuries. It's different now. I mean, they went out and signed Mark Barron to a two-year, $12 million contract to presumably be the starter, I think, really as insurance against not getting Devin Bush. And now you have Vince Williams, who's a veteran, who's also making $6.2 million a year. So whatever they do, listen, we know Devin Bush is going to play a lot come September, but I think there's going to be some massaging of some egos here, Ron and Joe, just because they have some veterans who are in the mix now and they don't have to put Devin Bush right away, even though we all know come the regular season that he's going to have a huge role on this team.
Ron and I were discussing yesterday and couldn't remember with total accuracy who had the mic in their helmet at the end of the year calling the defensive signals. I thought it was Vince with Bostic told me that he had a big role in it, even though he didn't have the mic.
Yeah.
That's A to this question. And B, will Devin Bush walk out on the field with the starters in Foxborough?
To answer your first question, I want to say by the end, it was Vince.
Bostic hardly played.
At the end. And interestingly, just before I came in, John Bostic is working out with the Ravens today, so that should tell you a little bit about the inside linebacker situation down in Baltimore. They haven't signed him yet, but he's working out for them today. I'm sorry, your second question was?
Will Bush start the opener?
Yeah, I think he will, Joe. I mean, when you trade up 10 spots and get into the top 10, we all know what the situation with this defense was last year. They were lacking a playmaker for the middle of that defense, and you go up, you trade up to get that guy, you give away a second-round pick, you give away more draft capital next year. Yeah, I think when they play in New England in September, I think Devin Bush will be a starter. And I think it'll be up to the coaches to sort of massage the egos of Vince Williams and Mark Barron, whichever guy is the odd man out.
Who's going to be the number two receiver after Juju?
I think ideally, guys, it will be James Washington, but James Washington has to go out there and improve it during training camp. He's a guy as a rookie, failed to live up to the expectations. He only had 16 catches, although he came on at the end of the year and was actually playing some decent ball at the end of the year. I think Dante Moncrief he's a guy who's best suited to be a deep threat, to be a number three or number four receiver in this offense. And I wrote about this too. I think it's too much too early, too much to expect for Deontay Johnson, their first third-round pick, to come in here and really do what Juju Smith-Schuster does as a rookie. You'd be putting an awful lot on his plate if you expected him to do that in his first season.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette in studio. Joe Block of AT&T Sports coming up at 11:25. And Ray, I see a poll here on postgazette.com. Do you think Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger should respond to criticism he's faced from Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and others? 500 responses so far. 90% say no, he should move on and focus on next season. First of all, when do you think Ben will talk? Secondly, do you think he'll respond, and in what form, to his critics, his many critics this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, all indications are they start OTAs on Tuesday. All indications right now is that he'll do it on Tuesday. And listen, I mean, Ben probably wants to get this over with. He wants to deal with it once. I think he should have done it when he signed his new contract. I'm not sure what went into that decision, but I think he's going to have to answer these questions at some point, guys. I mean, this was a topic for all of January, all of February, into March. You know, what, not only what Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell were saying about him, but, you know, the national media, NFL Network, guys on ESPN were piling on too, I think unfairly, which I think is part of the reason why he should address it. And I think the questions are going to be there. I'm not sure how he's going to handle it, but there are going to be some persistent questions about what went on this season. And I think, he'll do it once, and I think it'd probably serve his best interest if he just, you know, was truthful and, you know, gave us some good answers to the question.
My feeling is he'll take the high road here and just say, hey, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion, and it was hurtful, but I'm moving on. It's in the past. My teammates are stronger because of this. I assume that's what he's going to say. And that's a guess.
And that's fine. But also there's the secondary stuff about what's this offense going to be like without Antonio Brown. And what's this?
Why don't you go answer that a little bit more?
I mean, I think that all that stuff is tied into it. You might be right, Ron. He might have a standard pat answer to what, you know, the
Josh Harris said,
right,
Mendenhall said.
And,
I think he'll my guess is he'll answer questions. You know, we think Juju's going to be a star and James Washington really came on.
And in the end, isn't that the most pertinent question of this off season as it pertains to the offense? I mean, they leaned on Antonio Brown so much, really since 2012, 2013, to be the focal point of their passing game. And I know Juju did great last year, but this is going to be a really strong test for Ben Roethlisberger, for Juju, for James Conner, for all those guys on this offense to make it work without Antonio Brown. For all of his warts, guys, this guy was a great player. He's a generational type player, and now they have to sort of figure out on the go how they're going to make it work without him.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post Gazette, he's in studio. He's going to be here for about 6 more minutes with us. All right, Ray, it's easy to ask you questions here. I'll just ask the questions that you posed to yourself on your postgazette.com piece.
That'll make it easy.
The 5 questions, biggest ones going into OTAs. Who will be the starting right tackle? Is the competition wide open?
Well, Mike Tallman made it seem that way at the owners' meetings in March. And it's interesting. I mean, Matt Filer played well. Mike Tomlin, said that. Kevin Colbert has said that. And now he's in a situation where he's in a 3-way competition with second-year tackle Chukwuemeka Okorafor and right tackle Gerald Hawkins, who's he's been besieged by injuries his last couple of years. I think it's between Okorafor and Filer, to be honest with you, and I think Filer has the inside track. But to me, it's interesting. He played, you know, I don't want to say he played so well, but he played well enough to sort of nail that job down. And to me, it's interesting, at the very least, that there's going to be a competition there.
I think one of your other questions was, is Steven Nelson going to be their answer at cornerback? My answer was he better be.
Yeah.
They've invested some money in him. Hopefully he's going to be better than Ladarius Green or Morgan Burnett or John Bostic. What do you feel like they really like him a lot?
I think they feel like he's a lot better than what they had last year in Artie Burns and Cody Sensabaugh. I mean, listen, Steven Nelson had 4 interceptions last year. He got thrown out a lot, and he gave up some big plays, but he was a starter on a very good team that almost went to the Super Bowl. Now, they weren't very good statistically. Steven Nelson gave up his share of big plays, but I do think, guys, that he's going to be much better than what they had at that position last season.
Artie Burns, is he on the team on opening day?
I think it's tough for Kevin Colbert and Mike Tallman to cut a first-round pick. I think they'll find a role for him, even if it's as the fourth cornerback guys. He actually does play a good bit on special teams, so I do think he'll be there. Unless he has a really bad training camp and he falls flat on his face, I think they'll find a place for him on the 53-man roster in September.
Ray, both Joe and I were amused to read the story coming out of New York this week that the general manager was fired. The Jets are just being ridiculed. They've kind of taken over the team turmoil tag from the Steelers.
Yeah.
And a story comes out that the GM was the guy who pushed to sign Le'Veon, and the coach doesn't want Le'Veon, or I shouldn't say that, didn't want them to invest that kind of money in Le'Veon or any running back. So I think Andrew Brandt, the former Packers guy, tweets out yesterday, let me see if I got this right. Le'Veon leaves $14.5 million on the table, doesn't play for a coach who really wants him, ends up in New York for a coach who doesn't want him.
Right.
What do you think of that story? It's just incredible. Le'Veon's tweeting left and right, I'm all positive. Ignore the noise. This doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, let's not sugarcoat it. We say that Adam Gase doesn't want him. He doesn't want him for whatever reason, because you don't want to spend money on a running back. That's the same exact reason that the Steelers didn't want to go overboard and pay Le'Veon Bell $17 million a year, or what, you know, whatever it was he wanted. I mean, listen, running backs have, unfortunately for them, they have a set price right now within the marketplace for the services they provide to NFL teams. Bell, for as great as he was, wasn't able to change that. And now the truth finally comes out. I mean, I think, you know, in the end, the Steelers would have had him back for their price. But now it's a circus up there. He's playing for a coach who doesn't want him, and this can only get worse. And I think
a coach who the players hated in Miami. I mean, just rubbed everybody the wrong way.
And now he's the GM of that team, at least in the interim, until they find somebody else who will take that job. I mean, that's just a crazy situation up there.
All right, Ray. I have a question on the offensive side of the ball that I like to ask people. First game of the season, your first third and long, who are the five eligibles out there for Ben?
That's a great question right now, because right now the only tight end you would want out there would be Vance McDonald. So I'll say Vance McDonald, Juju, James Washington. Then I would have James Conner, of course, in the backfield. And then I would probably have, you say third and long, I'll say Dante Moncrief.
Moncrief, okay.
You know, he'll be out there, he'll run a go pattern, and, you know, you'll have Juju running something short or intermediate to try to get the first down. So.
What about Jalen Samuels in obvious passing situations? That's part of this question. The second one is, a lot of people really believe this will be something close to running back by committee. I'm not at all convinced it'll be that, given Mike Tomlin's history.
No, me neither. And I think the drafting of Benny Snell was interesting, but the Steelers have said nothing that they're going to change the way they've used their running backs. So, I mean, getting back to Samuel, he's a really interesting player. He could play H-back. You could split him out as a big slot in certain situations if you didn't like matchups with Eli Rogers or Ryan Switzer. So right now he's the backup running back. You know, Benny Snell hasn't beaten him out yet, but I do think there are situations in the passing game, he's such a good receiver, that you could use him as the same time as James Conner, and I think you'll see them experiment with that in training camp.
Ray, I know you're a regular listener of this show, so you know how much flipping and flopping Starkey does. He starts one, he's here, he's there, he's here, he's there.
I just enjoy the singing.
Please don't make him do that. Ed Bouchette has flipped and flopped on the Mike Tomlin contract issue. Ed was adamant at first they're going to give Tomlin a contract extension. Then, like 3 days later, he goes, I don't think they're going to give Tomlin a contract extension. And the last week or two, I think they're going to give Tomlin a contract extension. Probably be, if they do it, normally in July.
Right.
Do you feel like they're going to?
You know, I don't have a great read on what Art is going to do in that situation. Kevin Colbert's, you know, he's due to be re-upped as well. My question is, why would you do it? I mean, you're coming off a disastrous end of the season where you choked away a playoff berth. That came on the heels of a disastrous playoff game where you had home field advantage in your first playoff game. There's no reason to do it now other than the precedent that you've set by doing it in previous years. So I think this should be a prove-it year for Mike Tomlin. I still think he's a top 10 NFL coach, but I would make him go out and earn his money. And the other thing about this situation, guys, is we all know coaches have shelf lives. In the NHL, it's a much shorter situation. Mike Tomlin has passed 10 years. Now you have a situation where he's getting up to that Bill Cowher range, you know, 15 years, and he was done. You're starting to get into that situation with Mike Tomlin, too. So I think,
also know that coaches have egos and pride. Yeah. So the risk, I would say, is if you don't sign him to that extension, and I'm not necessarily advocating it, and he goes out and has a big year and wins the Super Bowl, then you're going to be on the hook for a lot more money. And Tomlin may feel like, maybe I want to go out somewhere else.
Joe, if they win the Super Bowl, I'd pay him $10 million a year, because then you're right back to where you want to be. And, you know, you're already looking at paying him $8 or $9 million to begin with. So, I would be fine with that if they go out and win a Super Bowl. I just think he's in a situation where he has to prove himself in 2019.
I hear you. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate the time, man. We'll see you next week for OTAs. At least Ron will. I'll be on vacation. All right, Joe Block from AT&T Sportsnet. He called the game last night. He's going to join us next with his insight here on Cook and Joe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.